here we go. Vegas Fever Podcast. It's been a couple of weeks since we've recorded. Paula's over here.
Okay.
Here she is. So a few things have gone on in the last couple of weeks. I guess I've been looking for that major story, which is probably going to happen tomorrow because we're recording today. That's just the way it works. Few minor things to get to, and then we're going to do the winner of the giveaway that we've been doing for our teacher friend out there in Vegas. So we'll do that as well. I guess the most recent thing that happened was Keegan Kolsar re-signs with Vegas, 3 years, $1.4 million a year. I think that's too much money. It comes out to like 4.2 something million over the course of the deal. I think Reeves was in that 3 to 5 million range, I believe. I don't know the exact figure, but at least I got a draft pick when they traded him. That's my, you know, kind of shining light, is at least I got something for that guy. But Keegan Kolsar, 1.4 million. I guess a lot of people, from what I'm reading, were thinking maybe 1 to 1.2. So that's a couple hundred thousand too much. And when you're playing, you know, with the salary cap, you're kind of up against it. I think that it matters that much more. The only thing that's left for the Knights in terms of restricted free agents, if I'm not mistaken, is the two Knicks, Nick Waugh and Nick Hague and Jake LeCision. And I think some Vegas fans have kind of this theory that we're going to be able to like sign someone else too. And I just don't think that's going to happen. The salary cap is very difficult to understand, but with the Knights taking on that Shea Weber contract into, you know, LTIR, they do have a little bit of money to work with. And I think after they sign who they have to sign, who's already on the team, the two Knicks and Jake LeCision, I think that they're really not going to be able to do anything unless they make a trade. And I'm really sick of this team making trades, because when they make a trade, it's either A, they don't get anything back, right, or they're just they're throwing shit away. And I'm kind of sick of it. I mean, to be quite honest, I'm really sick of Kelly McCrimmon, because he just makes these deals that are really all in and wonderful, but then we end up paying for it later. And I'm kind of sick of that. Like, I like Alex Pietrangelo, and I liked Max Pacioretty, and I like Mark Stone, and I mean, but man, like Jack, I like Jack Eichel. I'm really sick of playing this game. Like, it's been a 3 year plus game, and I'm sick of it. And, you know, in various groups and fan platforms that I've seen, everyone is just trying to figure out, well, how can we do this and how can we do that? We don't have to do that. We didn't have to figure out how we're going to stay on the right side of the salary cap. We could have just been like every other NHL team and been like, here's the budget. It's like me and you and everybody else out there, right? Everybody's got a budget. Okay, look, Mr. McCrimmon, this is your budget. $82.5 fucking million dollars a year. $82.5 million. And it's going to go up in a couple years after all this COVID, we get all through all the COVID stuff. The salary cap will go up, the ceiling. But look, dude, you have this much money. Why can't you spend that and be okay with it? And why don't you spend a little less so you have something that you could do, A, at the trade deadline or just anytime throughout the year, off season? They don't have that luxury. They're going to come back with the same team. Exactly the same team in Max Pacioretty, minus Max Pacioretty.
Which is sad.
It's great if they stay healthy.
When Max wasn't really healthy last season.
He was not. When this team starts to get injured, here we go again. Because they have a couple of guys, you know, in the AHL that maybe ready and maybe not. Will they get traded before they're even able? Who knows? Because if the Golden Knights like something, they'll throw the young guys into the deal, prospects in return. And you don't have a ton of NHL experience in the AHL right now. So when, you know, there is an opportunity for some of these guys. So what I mean by that, when I said NHL in the AHL, mm-hmm. some guys have played in the NHL extensively, minor, you know, a little, a lot. The Knights don't really have, like, I mean, they've got guys that are really good because Henderson has been good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're ready. And if you're going to figure it out, you're going to figure it out now. You're not going to figure it out later.
It's a dangerous game to even have to play this, so.
It's extremely irritating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a big, big topic on our show. Keegan Kolsar, $1.4 million for the next 3 years. They have a couple more guys to sign, obviously. And there's a little bit more fallout, something else to get to, from the Max Pacioretty trade to Carolina. And Dylan Coghlan went to him for future considerations. Future considerations will live in infamy in Vegas, because that means that's what Carolina gave Vegas in return, which means that it's another term for absolutely nothing. Right. But they used it, and it's become a sticking point to a lot of the fan base. Because what is future considerations? Nothing. And it's been like, why don't you just say nothing? But it's a joke, and we'll get to that in a little bit about maybe what Carolina did to Vegas purposely in that deal. Max Pacioretty went on the Raw Knuckles podcast. It's hosted by Chris Nealon and Tim Stapleton, and he talked about his time with Vegas. And while in his words, it was not bad by any means, the newest member of the Carolina Hurricanes expressed the lack of accountability that he noticed in the team, and he believed it was a big reason why they struggled last year. This is a quote from Max's mouth directly. When I first got to Vegas, it was weird. There was no accountability, he said. And I'm not talking about in the team. I'm talking about ever with anyone in the organization. You could feel pressure coming from everybody else. Coming from anyone else, from coaches to management. Pacioretty continues, I mentioned at the end of the year that no one is really holding us accountable. If we had a bad year like this in Montreal, the city would be half on fire. Here in Vegas, it's 80 degrees, and I think he was being nice with that 80 degrees. It's sunny, we're getting our car washed, we're getting our organic food, and we're going to play golf. I was kind of like, we've got to police this thing a little better amongst each other. I don't want to say it was a country club, but you have no one from the outside holding you accountable. So what I gather...
I mean, what does he want the town to come at him with pitchforks? I'm confused.
It's not so much about that everybody's playing golf and getting their car washed and getting their organic food. The point is that when you have a bad year, somebody's head should roll. There should be a little bit more like, hey, what are we doing wrong? Not like, oh, okay, well, that was a great year. We're gonna go play golf now. That's his take on it.
Right.
And I think that where he came from, he played in Montreal for a long time, and he was their captain for 3-4 seasons. And they had a bad year. He heard about it. He heard about it at home. He heard about it on the streets. He heard about it at the supermarket. It's a little
different. I think the circumstances are different. This is Vegas's first team.
Right.
First professional team, first NHL team. I think people are just, A, happy they're here, and B, because of their great first season, maybe people let things slide.
In other words, maybe Vegas fans are just happy to be around. maybe Vegas fans are just happy to have a team.
Right.
And you know what?
I mean, I understand where he's coming from with accountability.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, last year was the first year that the team didn't make the playoffs. And it's just, he's basically saying there's no change.
No.
From it's making even it worse. Right. Which is, it's just.
Maybe what needs to change is upper management, not the coach, not the players. But what's consistent in all this, in my opinion, now is you've changed coaches now 3 times. You've gotten rid of star players like Pacioretty, Fleury, okay, all these other people have come and gone, yet they're still not winning. So what is the common denominator that is George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon?
And Bill Foley, and I'll throw him in there. I know he's the owner of the team.
Well,
and
that's not going to change.
No, not right this moment, but the man is getting up there in age, and I think that's a topic of a different conversation.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Bill Foley has the ability to get rid of A, Kelly McCrimmon, and 1A, George McPhee.
You're going off on a whole nother tangent. That's...
There was a question before Bruce Cassidy came in, before they got rid of Pete DeBoer. There was a question. There was a little bit of a gray area, in my opinion, from the fan base and from the media. Nobody really knew if Kelly McCrimmon was going to come back until there was a little bit of a... There was a little press conference, you know, at the end of the season, right after, saying, okay, yeah, you know, Bill Foley's like, Kelly will be back. You know, for a few days there, people were like, is he going to be back? Should he be back? I think based off of the talent that he's acquired, yes. But based off of the game that we're playing, because of that talent with the salary cap,
he's acquired talent, but it hasn't amounted to anything. So I disagree with you.
I mean, at a price, it's costed a lot of prospects. And it's, you know, costed Vegas, you know, playing, being in salary cap hell. Look, there's no doubt you get Stone, Pacioretty, Pietrangelo. Leonard was a good get at the time. Eichel, man, I mean... There are franchises that get one of those guys like every 10 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Vegas is getting them every year. And if they don't, if they stay mostly healthy this year and they're not in the playoffs, got to look at that. Someone's got to look at this and say, can we please maybe make a change? And not back to George McPhee. I think that maybe a new voice in the room over the voice in the room might be what could be heading for the Golden Knights if they continue to play this way. Because the fans have gotten used to the playoffs, and whether that's right or wrong, that's the expectation set by the team, set by the organization. So they, in my mind, with a healthy roster, you know, 75-80% of the time, they can make the playoffs. They were not healthy last year. It was a revolving door of injuries. It was a room. They could have had a separate room, another locker room full of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were not in good shape, and they almost still made the playoffs. So if you have a little bit less of that, you can do a little bit more and make the playoffs. And once you're in, anything can happen. We've seen that many, many times. To kind of piggyback what we just talked about, Alan Walsh, who is Max Pacioretty's agent, you may recognize that name because he's also Marc-Andre Fleury's agent. Had some interesting comments. And he has a podcast, the Agent Provocateur podcast. He explained why Carolina made the specific moves that they did. Quote, there were several other GMs around the league that mentioned to me that they thought the way the trade was structured was intentional on Carolina's part. That there was a little bit of a message being delivered, said Walsh. He continued, could Vegas have gotten a 7th round pick or a 6th round pick? Sure. Carolina intentionally said, no, we'll do this, but we're going to make it future considerations. Because it embarrassed Vegas to have that done to them. Instead of giving them a pick, They gave them an embarrassing term that means nothing. Zip, bupkis, squat. And I don't like Alan Walsh. I think he's an asshole. And I don't care if he, I don't care if he's never going to hear this. What he did with that picture he tweeted with the stabbing of the sword was ill-timed, poor taste, because this is a body of work by this man. He decided during a playoff run to disrupt a locker room. And I don't care what anybody says, it made the locker room. And everybody could say it didn't. Can't fool me or anybody else.
But what does this have to do with anything?
This man has an angle. He doesn't like Vegas. He basically told Mark.
I don't blame him for what they did to his clients. So
I guess I can't either. Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I don't know what your point is.
A situation starter and a shit stirrer.
Over a year ago.
He has many clients. What happens if Vegas approaches one of those clients?
I don't know.
It seems to me that Alan Walsh would be in the middle saying, you don't want to go there.
Do you, though?
Do you not?
I'm sorry.
If I'm a player, no. I mean,
I don't know. What are you saying then?
Because it's a conflict of interest, is it not? In some way, shape, or form? It is, right? Your client, if your client wants to go to Vegas for whatever reason, he is not, it's not his decision to stand in the way. He needs to say, okay, Billy, okay, Bob, I'll make that happen for you.
I don't think he's going to stand in the way, but is it not his job to provide the best opportunity for his client?
It is. It is, but I could, how's that phone call go?
The player works, he works for the player, not for Vegas. So I think.
Walsh continued in his quote saying, in reality, I think Carolina was extremely savvy here. He knew, they knew that they were one of the only teams that could take on the $7 million cap hit. If Carolina knows they're the only game in town, and they were one of the only games in town, according to Walsh, to get Pacioretty, if they're the only game in town from cap mismanagement, now has no choice but to trade $7 million and still leaves them a couple million over the cap, why would any team give up a first-round pick or a top prospect? So Carolina probably just sat there and said, we'll take the contract for you, but you're going to give him to us for free. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by the whole reason that you have to just give Max Pacioretty away.
I mean, that says more about Vegas than it does Carolina.
It really, really does. But so, this is, there's a history.
That they're that desperate to do it because they have no other damn choice.
Yeah, I'm really.
They put themselves in this predicament over and over. They're not learning anything from it. So no, I don't feel really, sorry for them.
And I'm really sick of it because look at the players that you've lost. And it's not just Pacioretty and Fleury. I mean, Dylan Coughlin, you had to send Nate Schmidt away. I mean, and so on and so forth. Like, Coughlin doesn't seem like a lot. That dude played a bunch last year and well at times. And now you're just like, here, you can go too. You know? So, super duper sick of that. That's for sure. I don't believe that there is anything else Vegas-wise besides the giveaway that we are going to get to here shortly.
Let's get to it.
You want to do that? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Let me pull up my camera because I want to do a little bit of recording. While we do this,
you're gonna explain what we're doing?
Yes, but I'm gonna hit the record button first. So what I'm gonna do is I'm recording on my phone. We've put the names on pieces of paper, everybody who donated an item to our teacher friends list. I'm gonna start recording and I'm going to show all the names. We're gonna crumple up the paper and we're gonna put it in a hat and we're gonna mix it around. We're gonna pick a name and I'm gonna show the jersey as well. And that's gonna be the prize. I'll reach out to you via DM or otherwise and we'll get it to you. So here we go. All right, guys. Sorry, I'll make sure the volume's up. All right, guys, here we go. These are the people that donated to our teacher friends list. Lou, crumple you up. Crumple that one up. And that was Kim Scott. Thank you. I don't know this gentleman's name, but he's at Hop Hoops on Twitter. Kyle S. Vegas Varsity. Jacob A. Thank you. Joy. Thank you. There's Joe. And Adam. Appreciate you, buddy. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to hand this.
This is so stupid to do it this way. I'm sorry.
Why? I like this way.
I wanted to do a random number generator. And.
Nah, I think we'll just do it this way. It's not getting you, though.
It's really hard to mix it like this. I don't want to do it. It's not mixing at all.
Here we go. Mix it up a little bit. Here's our winner.
You ripped it.
Yep, but I could still read it. Congrats, Kim. Kim Z is the winner of this guy. Congrats. I'll be reaching out. All right. That went well. Congratulations to Kim on the jersey. It was just such a great cause. You know what I mean? Over the past couple weeks, we hadn't done an episode. And during that time, we were doing this. And the first week, we got a few. And I really wanted to get to 10. Just because there are so many teachers in need, which makes so many kids in need. And it wasn't about this. It was about them. But this was something that, you know, definitely helps the cause. So we appreciate you guys very, very much.
Yes, thank you.
Let's do our quick word from Inside the Rink.
Yeah, from our friends and sponsors of Inside the Rink, BetUS. BetUS has your NHL, NBA, UFC, and NFL betting lines for their 28th year of live betting. Sign up for BETUS.com with promo code RINK for 125% sign up bonus.
Yeah, guys, the promo code is RINK, R-I-N-K, for a 125% sign-up bonus. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry. That's BetUS. You bet, you win, and you get paid when you use BetUS.com.
Also, a shout-out to Vegas Varsity.
Yes.
I believe he has a sale going on.
So, VegasVarsity.com and at Vegas Varsity on Twitter. And use our code VFP10. At checkout for an extra 10% off merchandise that's unique to Vegas in many different aspects.
Yeah, he still has some sales, and you can use our code on top of the sale.
That's right. We also could have something else brewing, but you know, we'll talk about that another time too. Some fun stuff on the horizon. I did want to mention one UNLV note, and I am really, 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 really happy for knowing this now. Alex Wright, who does some writing for a Mountain West site and some UNLV stuff, I believe, he told me that the correct pronunciation for ex-assistant coach for the Runnin' Rebels is Chappelle, like Dave Chappelle. It's Brandon Chappelle. He was poached by our friend Chris Beard from Texas to go be their assistant coach just about the first day of August. This was late July, I believe. Now, that's not normal, I have to tell you, to leave a university a couple weeks before they're going to go on a foreign trip to Canada. Mm-hmm. That's very unusual. but there was an opening, and he went right back to his old roots for 18 days, UNLV. How nice of him. How nice of him to take. Now, this isn't about Brandon Chappelle, because, I mean, Kevin's going to replace him, and it'll be fine. I don't know much about the dude. However, why are you, Chris Beard, why are you doing anything that has to do with UNLV at all? Why are you looking at UNLV for an assistant coach? Didn't you do enough to UNLV? Like, I'm just like, I'm just wondering.
Need to get over it. It's
irritating. It's irritating.
Okay, I don't even want to talk about
The guy's extremely irritating. You know what I mean? He comes here, he leaves, he carpet bags, he goes from one location to another.
What do you care?
Because he just took an assistant. They were completely unnecessary.
He didn't take an assistant. If the assistant didn't want to leave, he wouldn't have left.
However, money in Texas is a little bit bigger. Okay, like things.
Then. So then you go where the money's at.
Fine. So thank you, Chris Beard, for taking Brandon Chappelle.
You're ridiculous.
Off of our hands. We'll just find another assistant coach. Maybe in a couple years, you'll come back and take that coach off our hands. I hope your team has a bad year. Okay, go Running Rebels. Anyway, that's my point. Bitter? That's fine. I just don't care for the man either. He's on the same level as Alan Walsh. The guy just sucks. They both do. And I don't care. So I think that's pretty much our show. On that note, I think we'll just kind of kill that. So at the Golden Wife over there on Twitter and at Vegas Fever Pod myself, be sure and subscribe on any listening platform that has podcasts, or pretty much on all of them. And tell us what you think. Comments, concerns, anything by DM or anything on Twitter would be fantastic. Let us know.
Congratulations to the winner.
Congrats, and Kim.
Thank you, everyone, for donating.
That's right.
And go check out our friends at Inside the Rink for all your hockey news.
Yep. And that's our show. We will talk to you guys again, hopefully with some Golden Knights, UNLV, and other news. Everybody take care.